Today's reading comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, Church Bible page 1184. That's 1184. Titled Further Instructions. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Fifty-two years ago, to the very day, I got one of these for my birthday present. I was 6 years old. Yeah, you do the maths. And from that day on, my dad would often go with me to the garage next door. And he, who in his heyday was really good, he played in the London League Division One. He would teach me how to play table tennis in our garage. We had some trestles. He put an old kitchen tabletop on top of them, and it teach me the skills of the game. At first, it was like this. But as I grew up, a bit higher than the table, I learned to play like this. And I have to say, this apprenticeship from my dad was pretty good. Whenever I played in church or on holiday or in a local park, I know it's not modest to say, but I beat practically everyone. Because Darius is here today, I'm obliged to confess that it wasn't 100%. But apart from Darius, my dad's teaching was pretty good. Anyway, a couple of months back, I decide to join a table tennis club. Why not? And I found this club with some amazing coaches in it. And they said, Jonathan, we'll tell you what, we'll put you in the third squad, Division 3. That's two leagues lower than my dad. And a couple of Fridays ago, they were short of a player. I went along. I don't know where you can see, if you can see where this story is coming into land. I won't give you all the gory details. Instead, if we can get the picture up, I'll show you what it was like. If you've heard of the phrase, in at the deep end, that's where I was. Yeah. Well, the picture might come up sooner or later. In at the deep end. These guys in Division 3, they are really good. Darius, they would give you a run for your money, I tell you. So now my coach, who's just encouragement incarnate, he's given me a purpose for the rest of the year. Jonathan, he says, with my help, you're going to be victorious in Division 3. This morning, God wants to give you a purpose of a higher kind, of a different kind, of a more significant kind, but with a similar word to you. He says, calling you by name, with my help, we are going to be victorious in a kingdom that has nothing to do with divisions. You see, you might have zero interest in table tennis. It's just a parable for anywhere in your life where you're divided in divisions according to how good you are, division 1, 2, 3, 4, or how beautiful you are, or how rich you are, or talented you are, or eloquent you are. Victory there depends on you being good enough. That's one purpose to have for your 2018. God gives you a different purpose. With my help, we are going to be victorious in a kingdom of quite another kind. Over the last weeks, we've been hearing from the Word of God written to a first century church in a place called Colossae about another way, another kingdom. about victory of another kind. And the writer, a man called St. Paul, describes to those he's writing, these early Christians following Jesus Christ, belonging to his kingdom, and the purpose he has for you. He has rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom of the Son he loves. Once, writes St. Paul in this letter, you were alienated from God. Now you're reconciled. Once you tried as hard as you could with all your energy. Now you labor with all the energy of Jesus' Holy Spirit. Now you're forgiven by God. Once you were in at the deep end, now you're raised with Christ. Once you lived in fear, now you're called to live in victory. These verses, could you open your Bibles to them? These verses give to us God's rallying cry. My coach in the table tennis club said, Jonathan, with my help, you're going to be victorious. Good luck with that. Don't hold your breath. But God says to you, an authority of a higher kind, with my help, we are going to be victorious. You can be signs of Jesus' victory in his kingdom, where Jesus is king. He is as true and as available in 2018 in Peckham as he was nearly 2,000 years ago in Colosse. And if you can relate to this in any way, I'm going to finish by inviting you to receive the help of Jesus for anywhere in your life. The purpose of your life and mine is to receive Jesus' help and to give it away. And I'm going to invite you to do this in a particular way. Often at the end of a sermon, we invite people, if you want help of any kind, to come to the prayer ministry team, which is always over here. I'm going to stand at the back of the church by a thing called the font. It's where children were baptized decades ago in this church. In fact, from 1867. And the prayer ministry team is going to be back there. And if you wish to, if any of this speaks to you of God's purpose for your life and his promise of help for you to be victorious this year in his name, I'm going to invite you to, in the time-honored phrase of a great evangelist, Billy Graham, to get out of your chair, and if you want to respond to Jesus in that way, to go there, to the font, as the source of help in this battle. In this great purpose. A preacher called Reinhard Bonnke once said this, that Jesus has the power to get anyone from the deepest of deep ends, from the deepest pit. But Jesus isn't going to get you out of a comfortable chair. You have to do that yourself. And Jesus has a purpose for you that isn't comfortable. It's you're in at the deep end. You're way out of your depth. How can you access this help, this promise of Jesus? Colossians 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. What does that mean? I become a monk or a nun? Not necessarily. The prayer St. Paul is talking about here is not so much about doing. Look what it goes on to say in verse 2. Prayer, what's that? Being watchful and thankful. The Latin word for to pray, very interesting. It's precare. We get our word precarious from it. Well, I learned to pray, maybe you did too, when I first did this in my life many years ago, was when I was in a precarious situation. When I was way out of my depth, when I was in at the deep end. As somebody said, there's no non-believers in an aeroplane that hits turbulence. Everybody's there devoting themselves to prayer. It's an easy thing to do when we run out of our own resources. Prayer is this attitude that knows that without God and his help, life is full of unknowns and challenges. God's saying to us in his word this morning, he's saying to this early church, way out of their depth, hard pressed by persecution on every side, threatened by heresies from within them, way out of their depth, in at the deep end. Devote yourselves to praying in watchfulness for what God is going to do. It's the same attitude that Jesus described in the first line of his first sermon. He said this, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit." Put another word, "Blessed are you who know how much you need God." Are you in a precarious situation right now? Can you think of any precarious situation? Something that's pretty daunting, where you're like out of your depth. Anything at all? That very situation invites you to be watchful for what God is going to do in your situation next. Blessed are those who know their need of God. For theirs, said Jesus, is the kingdom of God. Your purpose and mine is to be signs of God's kingdom. In places, in situations that are very precarious, and without Jesus, there is no hope. To be watchful and thankful. Thankful when God does turn up. He's in at the deep ends. When our first daughter was born, 5 seconds of her life in, I thought, I am in at the deep ends here. When I became the vicar of this church 6.5 years ago, I thought, I've never been vicar of a church like this. I am in at the deep end. And we are so thankful when we see, thank God, him fighting our battles. We are invited to this great purpose to be alive, alert, awake, watchful for the new thing God will do in your precarious situation. What is it? You see, that's Paul's prayer for himself. And he invites his friends in Colossae to join in with him. He's in a hole. He's in at the deep end. Look at the final verse of this chapter. Can you see this? It's verse 18. If you can't, I'll tell you what it is. He says, I, Paul, I'm writing this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Why does he say that? He is in prison. It's possibly under house arrest. It's thought he's in Rome. And he is hoping and praying that God will open a door, verse 3, for him. It's the literal door of his prison. You see, God has put it on his heart that his purpose for St. Paul's life is to get out the mystery of Christ. This amazing news that there is a God. He's on your side. He's got a victory he wants you to join in with. He wants you to be a sign of his kingdom. And Paul's prayer is for himself that he'll fulfill his purpose, which is to get that word out. He's been doing it for years. He's been founding churches across Eastern Europe. The church in Colossae is one of them. But now he's trapped in this prison. And he's praying that God would open that door so he can get out and fulfill his purpose. And he's praying also that God would open a door in people's hearts. That's also what verse 3 means. Only God can do this so that his word can be received, that the church can grow. And his second prayer is this, that we might proclaim it clearly as he should. Paul is the writer of a big part of the New Testament. 2,000 years on, we've got the answer to this prayer. Paul is proclaiming what we now know as God's word. He's proclaiming it, he's writing it in this letter clearly, and it's echoing down through the ages. He is living the kingdom life. His options are very limited. He's poor in spirit. His situation is precarious. He's in prison. But he turns to God in expectancy, and blessed are those who are like this, said Jesus, for for theirs is the kingdom of God. Where are you in at the deep end? You see, the Lord is there. His Spirit is with you. He's always doing a new thing. And he wants to do it through you. That's not just me giving you a comforting word. That's the authority of Jesus, who fulfills this prophecy centuries before in Isaiah, who said this in the word of God, "See, I am doing a new thing. Can you not see it springing up? I am making streams to flow in the desert." And Jesus is the fulfillment of that. One place that many people in All Saints say is their desert is the place you go to on Monday. We're doing a survey at the moment. And one of our survey questions, by the way, have you done the survey yet? If you're a member here at church, if you're a visitor, you don't have to do the survey. But if you're not, do the survey. There's some paper copies at the back. And one of the questions in it, which if you've done it, you'll know. One of the questions in it is this. Where do you most need, something along the lines of, where do you most need support and encouragement? And the overwhelming response is what's called the workplace. Now, that might be the place where you're paid. That might be your home because you're doing a lot of work there. That might be whatever work calls you to do, Monday to through the rest of the week. But it's where most people in this church who've completed the survey feel out of their depth. And it's where Jesus wants to help you, to work through you, to work in the same way that Paul is praying for the Christians in Colossae. They had the same precariousness. So Paul's praying for them, verse 5, that they're wise in the way you act. When you're surrounded by people who have no clue and no interest in the kingdom of God, who he calls outsiders. Jesus wants to help you make the most of every opportunity. In every conversation you have, verse 6, he wants to help you that your conversation is full of the same grace, seasoned with salt, that Jesus himself had when he was on earth. The Lord is there. His Spirit is with you. He's wanting to do a new thing through you. In my table tennis club, the most my coach can do is to give me the best possible coaching in the hope that I'll put it into practice. I'll tell you what he said to me. He's so encouraging. He said, "Jonathan, you've only got two flaws in your game. If we can iron those out, you'll be in Division One." He hasn't told me what the two flaws are. I think one's the forehand and one's the backhand. But he's very encouraging. In God's kingdom, you have a Savior who has died for you and now wants to live through you. You see, as much as my coach would like to, he can't actually play for me. He can't do that. He just gives me tips. You have a Savior who wants to work through you, who's making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Do you not see? Be watchful for what he's doing. And here's the way that I'm going to finish. Here's how God wants to work through you, wants to give you his courage, his help, his strength, his grace, his Spirit. If you read the final verses of this amazing letter of Paul in prison, it's full of names of people who give him encouragement. Look at verse 7. Here's one of them, Tychicus. He's one of Paul's friends. He's not just a Facebook friend. No, he's a dear brother. He's a fellow servant in the Lord. The last verses go on with name after name, one after the other. the names of people who give Paul encouragement. That's the giving of courage for him where he's out of his depth in prison. Do you have anybody giving you the courage of the Holy Spirit, who's a dear friend, as we heard earlier, a dear brother in Christ, a dear sister in Christ? They don't just say to Paul, "Paul, you're fantastic, you're amazing, you're brilliant." No, that's flattery. They give him courage. What's courage? It's courage to keep on following Jesus, to keep on seeking his kingdom, to keep on receiving Jesus' power and praying for Paul that he'll do so. That's why he says to his friends in Colossae, "Pray for us too." Do you have anyone that you're connected with who you can share where you're in at the deep end? Well, it's far more significant than League Division 3 of the London Table Tennis League, where you're really in at the deep end and needs God to fight your battle. Paul's friends spur him on. So does Onesimus. He's a brother in Christ. There's Aristarchus and Mark and Justus, verse 11. Fellow workers in the kingdom of God, they encourage me. They are a comfort, verse 11, to me. Another word for encouragement. Who's giving you courage? The church is God's people. It's not this building. It's his people. And if you're a member of this church, or even if you're just here today, God wants to give you his courage. The word Jesus used for the Holy Spirit is a word that means encourager. Jesus wants to give you his presence through somebody else who's a brother or sister in Christ. We have 13 recognized groups for adults connected to this church. You could be a part of one of them. They're not all full. I'll tell you about one. If you're a bloke and you can get up at 6:30 in the morning, you can come along to men's prayer breakfast and get courage from the encourager of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the place, I go to it, I don't lead it, I just go there to receive Jesus' help. And we find there that Jesus can get us out of the deepest pit, but he can't get us out of bed. You have to do that yourself. If you're not a bloke, there's a women's prayer breakfast that met yesterday. It's once a month, second Saturday. There are all sorts of places you can connect. This Lent, we're doing something called 40 Acts. And this is a season when you could try this out, to get connected, maybe with just one other person. Just one other person in this church who will pray for you and with you, and you can pray with them. And if you don't know anyone, we'll link you up with them. So I'm coming into land here, and I'm going to go to the font at the back of church, and I'm going to invite anybody who today needs Jesus' help for wherever you're in at the deep end, who needs Jesus' courage, his presence, in whatever situation you are in. As the prayer ministry team will be at the back. If you want to be connected up to some other encouragers in the name of Jesus for you, I want to invite you to bring along your little card. Did you get one when you came in? I've dropped mine. Have you got a little card like this? Did you get one? Maybe you didn't. Have you got little cards like this? I'll show you what they look like. You have. Somebody's done. One of these? Have you got one of these? Yeah, some of you have. Well, you can come to the back and take one of these little cards and just put your contact details on it, and we will connect you into the body of Jesus so that you can receive his encouragement. Either his connection in the body or his prayer from the body. Would you please stand with me as the worship band come forward now? And if you can relate to anything I say, and if you wish to pray this prayer with me, I'm going to invite you just to hold out your hands like this. And these represent the places in our lives where we are poor in spirit. Lord Jesus, you have given us this amazing purpose in our life, to be people of your kingdom, signs of your power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power of Jesus' peace, his grace, his love that surpasses human understanding or ability. Lord, we are sorry for every way we have tried to live in our own strength. And today, afresh, I receive your strength. Blessed are those who know their need of Jesus' strength, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Yours is the kingdom of God. Yours is the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.